I bet you didn't get a lot of sleep either last night. Mm-hmm. Y'all got to hang with me today because I'm on 3 hours sleep and I'm not at that young age where you can like stay up all night. It is the day after Election Day, November the 7th. 2012, time again for Afternoons with Amos, the talk show of record of our African-American community. I'm Amos Brown, glad to have you here. Oh, there is a lot to say and a lot to talk about. Let me first tell all of you, those of you that voted early, those of you that endured the confusion at the polls yesterday, those of you that stood in line, you did it. You don't know the change you've brought to Indianapolis and Marion County. There were victories yesterday. There were some things that didn't go our way. That is always what happens in politics. But you all turned up and turned out. We'll talk about that and get your reactions. We have a senator-elect, Joe Donnelly. We have a governor-elect, Mike Pence. We have a lieutenant governor-elect, Sue Ellsperman. We have a, oh Lord, a superintendent of public instruction elect, Glenda Ritz. We have new faces from Indianapolis in our legislature. We've got new school board members elect. To all of them, we must say congratulations. God bless you. And personally, and this program stands ready to assist you, to work positively with you as you do the work for the people of Indiana and the people of Indianapolis and Marion County. There has been, since last night, at 11:15, when NBC and Fox News said Ohio was won by the president, and that caused him to be reelected to a second term, the 17th American president ever to be elected twice to the office of president of the United States. Ever since that happened, and y'all knew this was going to happen, the level of hate, it's coming out now, and bigotry that has spewed first off of Fox News, and then I'm told on the radio today, is unprecedented and comes very close to people showing their true colors. I rarely mention the name of the guy downtown on the Circle. I'm going to mention it today just this once. From what I'm told, Greg Garrison down the street has just acted a complete fool. And his bigotry is showing. When Greg Garrison was named a special prosecutor to prosecute Mike Tyson, I defended him and how he did his job professionally and competently. I don't know the man. Never met him. We're both in the same business. We're both legends and icons in this business. Our paths have never crossed. I assumed he was a God-fearing Christian family man. But what I've heard he has said today leads me to think he done lost his Christianness. And y'all can tell him that I have called him out. He is doing his profession a disservice, both as a member of the bar and as a broadcaster. He is one of the reasons the Republican Party in this city and county is becoming irrelevant, because they have to kowtow to his bigotry and his ignorance. But the hate that is on the radio on the other side today, and what I'm nervous about, is how that hate is going to impact you, where you work, where in the neighborhood you live in, if you live in an integrated neighborhood or a majority white neighborhood, how it'll affect you when you go out to the grocery store, out shopping, out and about, and these people that believe the disbelief of hate looks at you and figure, oh, you're one of the ones that saddled us with him again. So I want to set a tone today for our discussion. I want us, the way we voted yesterday, with dignity and professionalism and quiet determination, Dr. King would have been proud. Sojourner Truth would have been proud. Marcus Garvey would have been proud. Booker T. Washington would have been proud. W.E.B. Du Bois would have been proud. Frederick Douglass would have been proud. Fannie Lou Hamer would have been proud. Dr. King would have been proud. Medgar Evers would have been proud. And the list goes on and on and on. And so I want to start today, since we are the light, where we shine the light through the music and the word. And that's word with a capital W. I want to go to scripture from the King James Version. Matthew 5th chapter, 3rd through the 12th verse. The words of one who is greater than all of us, Jesus Christ, who said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye where men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Matthew 5, 3 and 12, the words of Jesus Christ. And they apply today. They apply to our newly reelected president and his family. They apply to all of you that voted yesterday. They apply to all of you who have suffered because you stood up for this president. You spoke out against all that he's had to endure. And after this election, you know they're mad. Anytime folks have spent hundreds of millions of dollars, rich folks were so convinced they won, they was having a party in Boston, and they couldn't enjoy the alcohol. You know, that's bad. When you go into a party and you can't enjoy it, they mad. And you know the backlash is coming. So we need to gird ourselves through scripture, through our actions. So unlike the hate and bigotry that is on the airwaves today, because they're mad, they thought money could buy what they wanted. But you know, here in Indiana, there was a little lady named Glenda Ritz. She didn't have a lot of money, but she had a message. She was going up against Goliath. Dr. Tony Bennett was getting money from all over, all these school reform people, had them fancy TV ads. Glenda Ritz had a few radio ads, but she had a lot of people that believed in her. A lot of people that said where education was going in Indiana was not the right direction. And Glenda Ritz, like little David, had her slingshot, had her five smooth stones. And she fooled everybody. But do you know what helped Glenda Ritz upset Tony Bennett? It was the 75,000+ votes she won, margin she won here in Marion County, the landslide she got in Marion County. Let's see, it was Tony Bennett, 133,777 votes. Glenda Ritz, 215,554 votes. So by my math, that's 82,000-83,000 vote margin. She only won statewide by 120,000+ votes. Look at the change you brought to education in our state. Glenda Ritz didn't have a lot of money, but she had a lot of people that believed in her, a lot of heart, and you all helped. And now all these education reformers, the business community, they are in shock. Did you see Tony Bennett on the news? Did you see the clip on the news last night? He looked like he'd been run over by a truck, a moon rock. He looked like he had been in a saber fight with Obi-Wan Kenobi and Yoda. He looked like when one of those NFL players get a concussion and they try to bring, do you know how many fingers you have? Tony Bennett was going, oh, what happened? Anyway, 239-1310. I get the feeling, and I want to talk to as many as possible, so keep your comments short and to the point, and let's be humble in victory. Let me start today with Anonymous. Hi there.
Hello, Amos.
Hi, how are you?
Oh, excellent. Thanks for your great show. I'm a retired UAW person, and
yes,
you made
sir.
A statement about Chrysler was giving their employees off yesterday, something that you got off the net.
Yeah.
We've had that all for about 15 years.
Oh, okay.
And I didn't want to put it on live, but your personnel phone told me I could do it. That wasn't anything new.
That wasn't new.
That's not new.
That was regular stuff.
That's under union UAW negotiated contract. And you got the people fighting the union. The union wants you to vote.
There you go.
Hey, thank you, and keep up the good work. May God bless you.
All right, I appreciate it. Thank you. 239-1310. Let me go to Jeff right quick. Hi, Jeff.
How you doing, Amos?
I'm fine.
And yeah, I didn't get a lot of sleep either last night, so you're not alone. Amos, but you know what? First of all, I want to give a shout-out, first to the state of Ohio, but more importantly, a shout-out to working-class white men. They finally woke up. They didn't fall for the hokey-doke in the state of Ohio, and they played a major role in why Barack Obama has been reelected. Because for so long, since 1968, working-class white people have always voted against their best interests, and they ended up, you know, on the losing end anyway. So to working-class white men in the state of Ohio, congratulations, you woke up, and you told Mitt Romney, you know what, we're not going to fall for that trick bag. Did you hear these comments by Alan West? You know he got booted out of Congress.
I know.
He lost.
Alan West lost. I'm not crying over it.
And you know, do you hear that critic? First, I want to talk about Richard Murdoch, and I want to talk about Alan West. Alan West said the Democratic Party is controlled by inbred socialists.
Well, that's another reason that Alan West will not be a congressman after January.
And you talk about a sore loser. Did you hear Richard Murdoch's?
I did not hear his concession last night.
Oh my God! I mean, you know what? John Gregg was very gracious in his defeat.
And so was Mitt Romney. And so was Mitt Romney.
These guys show class and you know and dignity. But Richard Murdoch. Well, you all got to give me, you know, like a little kid. I mean, and you know, it's like, yeah, now you know why you're not going to Washington, D.C. as a representative of the state of Indiana.
I'm going to have to go back and look at the YouTube video of that.
Please look at it, because it was really a sad commentary on Indiana politics. And you know what, Amos, there's one. The Republican Party cannot blame nobody but themselves. They created a Frankenstein monster called the Tea Party, and this monster ended up destroying them in the end.
All right, appreciate it. Let me go to Tia at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hi, Amos. This is Tia. How are you doing today?
I'm exhausted, but we're here.
Well, the only thing I wanted to say today was I just pray, I want all believers to pray that our country, like the president said, can come together. It's not about red or blue. It's not about Democrat or Republican. It's about us coming together as people and supporting one another. And I really hope the Republicans can come across the lines and wherever there's good ideas, we can embrace the good ideas, get rid of the bad ideas and all the bad laws and embrace and bring this country back to where we need to be. All serving one another.
You raise a good point. I got an email at praiseindy.com. Said, Mr. Brown, I have a question and comment for you. While President Obama did win the election, and that's a victory for many across the country, would you not agree that when we look at the election objectively, doesn't it equate to a political draw since the executive and legislative branches remained unchanged and divided? Both parties and branches must give up some things in order to move the country forward. No one party received a mandate last night, and the split, I believe, is evidence that we all have to work together. That's kind of, you know, Tio, what you're saying. This is what the emailer is saying. It was interesting. I think the initial response of a speaker, John Boehner, and the House Republicans, because we're getting ready to have the fiscal cliff, which is like, hey, guys, if y'all do not solve this, some automatic stuff will solve it for you. Both sides have to yield. And I think that's what take the hate mongers out of it. I think people with some good common sense recognize that. I think Joe Donnelly, our senator elect, is going to help. There were some great Democrats elected last night. Elizabeth Warren, taking the Teddy Kennedy seat. In Massachusetts, Claire McCaskill was reelected down in Missouri. Tim Kaine, the former governor of Virginia, former head of the Democratic National Committee, now senator-elect from the state of Virginia. So I think there's some people there that are going to be looking for solutions. And it's very interesting. Joe Donnelly said that he's going to be reaching out to Dick Lugar. You know, asking Dick Lugar for, you know, advice, and which is wise. If you're getting ready to go into Senate, ask somebody that's been there for 36 years.
Exactly.
And do that reach out. And Joe was smart enough to say, hey, I can't fill Dick Lugar's shoes. Nobody can. All you want to do is can you move in those same footsteps? And he keeps reinforcing. And you notice he didn't go on the network shows last night and this morning. Joe is sticking to being a senator for us and not playing the Washington game. And I think that that's a great start for our new United States Senator. I appreciate the call. Thank you. 239-1310. 239-1310 is afternoon's name. Is getting your reaction to what happened yesterday. Let me go quickly to Pierre. Hi there.
Oh, good afternoon, Amos. I was watching a commentary last night, the local commentary with Robin Winston and, Mr. Rustoven.
Rustoven, yeah.
If I was Richard Murdoch, I would not get within 100 feet or 100 miles of Mr. Rustoven. He basically laid it out, and thank God for Richard Murdoch, because he helped us grab a Senate seat and probably helped us out where the president was running commercials with Richard Murdoch. But it just shows that and it's a lesson to Republicans. Hate doesn't work. Hate doesn't work, and it never will work. There's always a period on the end of hate. And that's what motivated a lot of us to get out and vote. So this today is the first day of the battle for the Congress.
Yeah.
We need to carry that same momentum. Okay, the president's being reelected. Now we got to work on the Congress. And I hope we see a more bold president. We need to get moving on these judicial appointments.
Mm-hmm.
We've got people out east who are not eating well, who are sleeping in the cold. We need to get people to work and get the folk back on their feet out east and repair the east. There are a lot of things that we need to do. On the school board election, Amos, I was watching the Pike school board election. The two women got elected, but one of the black incumbents lost.
That's correct, and, yeah.
Yeah, and this should be a lesson to African Americans. Now, when you throw your name on the ballot, and like everybody has a right to throw their name on the ballot, but if you're not serious, if you're not going to campaign, and, you know, this is coming from Pierre, if you're not going to campaign or whatever, be careful, because, see, what happened is we lost a black incumbent off that Pike school board, and had somebody else not run, you probably would have been on that school board. You see, sometimes we shoot ourselves in the foot.
Yeah, you made a good point. The winners in the Pike Township school board race were Charlisa Richardson, who was the leading vote getter. She's African American, newcomer to the board. Incumbent Nancy Poor, incumbent Larry Metzler, and I think Eric Huffine is the other newcomer that's going on the board. Those are the four that won. And incumbent Ricky Hentz came in fifth, but it was like top four win. And in Warren Township, this is kind of disappointing. In Warren Township, there were four African Americans running out of 11 candidates. And the African American came in one, two, three, four, five, I think sixth. And the top four vote gets fifth or sixth. The top four vote getters get in. And so it was an opportunity to put some diversity on the school board out in Warren Township. And it did not work. So I think African Americans out in Warren are really going to have to get their act together and then the townships to get more diversity on our school board. I appreciate the call. 239-1310. 239-1310. It's Afternoons with Amos for the day after Election Day. Let me go to Rose. Hi there.
Hey, Amos, how are you?
I'm fine.
I'm glad to see you use the scripture up front. But we have to learn one thing. Don't wait till everything hits you to start praying. I noticed the ministers, no one spent the time. The First Timothy read, it is for our leaders. And if we pay very close attention every day, which I've been doing for years,
mm-hmm.
and I called a TV station, I asked them, why was it that nobody was praying for the president?
Yeah.
Everybody likes to brag before the fat lady sings, as they say. But we need to make a point of talking to the Father, God our Father, first. And that is where the answer is. Like I tell a lot of my friends, go ahead and vote. But do not sit back and think that you will make a decision. Any of us make a decision. The decisions will be made by our God and our Father. And no matter what happens, no matter what the humans do, he's still going to have it his way.
All right, I appreciate
thank
that.
You.
Thank you. 239-1310. 239-1310 is Afternoon's name. We'll take a break. Getting your reactions to the election yesterday. We'll throw in some things that you did not know. Wait till I tell you how many people voted here in Marion County yesterday and how that compares with 4 years ago. You will be amazed and probably will bring a smile to your face. It's Afternoon's with Amos after these. Okay. Back to the phone quickly in Georgia. Hi there.
Hey, how you doing, Brother Brown?
I'm fine.
Yeah. Brother Sims and I, we worked the polls yesterday and over at Douglas Park. And, Brother, I'm here to tell you, the people really turned out. I was so tired when I got home, I just fell out. But anyway, I'm just excited to death that the president has got reelected. And well, we worked that poll over there on behalf of Ms. Elizabeth Gore. But this morning when I got up, my next door neighbor, who is a white man, he usually speaks, but he didn't speak to me this morning. So, but that's all. Oh, that's all right. You know, Johnny Taylor had an old song out years ago. It's all out in the open now.
Well, now, let me tell you how well everybody did yesterday. Now, we know 4 years ago, there were like 30 Obama offices in the state, right? There were Obama signs everywhere. The enthusiasm, parties, big rallies downtown, and the excitement was there, right? Okay. So 4 years ago, 381,759 people voted here in Marion County.
How many?
4 years ago, 381,759.
Okay.
54.73% of all registered voters, which was very good. So now this year, we didn't have as many Obama offices. It wasn't a battleground state. There weren't a lot of visits, except President Clinton came out a couple of weeks ago. There weren't as many signs out there. There was all the hype. All the excitement was on the Murdoch-Donnelly race. And so, and there was all that talk about enthusiasm, Gab, and the black folks weren't going to come out, and the Hispanics were all running and leaving town, and blah, blah, blah. Total vote yesterday from the unofficial totals from the Marion County Election Board.
Come on, Will.
359,754. So we're down just 22,000 voters from 4 years ago, 5.8%. That's not bad.
Well, you know what I seen yesterday morning, man? All the elderly people, some of them was on canes and wheelchairs. One lady, oh, my God, my heart went out to some of them, and I was trying to help some of them. You know, they could hardly walk, bruh. I mean, it was touching, and I wanted to cry, but it was too cold to cry.
Well, here's the other thing. Here's the other kicker. In percentage terms, percentage of registered voters, 56.2% voted yesterday. That's a huge percentage for a county like Marion, a big city like Indianapolis. It was a great turnout, great turnout. And you see the results. I appreciate it, Georgia. Let me go to Mayhem right quick at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hey, how's it going? Hey, what I seen yesterday was a lovely thing, but we don't need to celebrate yet. The war does only begin. We got to hold people accountable, and we got to listen and watch, because I understand what you're saying at the beginning, but we going to a new age. These people are not happy, and there's nothing. You can quote all the scripture you want, all we want. These people, we're going to have to watch them. That's the only thing I got to say.
All right, appreciate it. 239-1310. 239-1310 is afternoon's name. Is back the phones in Johnny. Hi there.
Good afternoon, Mr. Brown. How are you today?
I'm exhausted. Other than that, we're here. How you doing?
That's a good thing. We're blessed again. I'm just proud of the young people in my area that came out when I was in line. There was 9 new voters.
Amen.
Young adults.
Mm-hmm.
9 of them. Proud of them. And they said they're looking to vote next year.
All right.
I told them, I said, well, that's a good thing. And I said, just keep your head up and keep moving forward. Just convince some other friends to come out that's not registered. I'm proud that we have our in the house again. And I just like to thank all of those that supported him and keep faith in everything, you know, because we can't lose faith in negative stuff, listening to negative things. People just take things the wrong way and run with it and just want to keep pulling you the wrong way. So
all right.
That's all I have to say.
All right, appreciate it. Let me go back to the phones and Robert right quick. Hi, Robert.
How you doing, Amos?
Hi.
It's a great day today. The president was reelected, which I didn't have any problem with him being reelected. Because I know people were going to come through. That's why I voted early. But I, like you said in your intro to your program, that you got so much hate. And see, when a person begins to believe that they are superior, meaning the Caucasian, that they live in that mythical world, and when it is knocked over, they become frustrated and angry, to the point where they want to do is engage in violence, because first of one of the things that the Caucasian will do, he's been on the mantle on the top shelf of that superiority myth, that he feels that he's invincible, and that when something happens to bring him down, then it builds up anger to the extent of where he feels that he should be in control of everything. But the people spoke, and it has been determined that the country is not going to go down the road, go down the highway that Murdoch was on.
All right, appreciate it. Let me go to Don at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hey, how you doing, Amos, today?
Tired, but I'm right here.
Yeah, I bet you are. Hey, Amos, you know, it was a great day yesterday, and we need to be just like the president, just like you. You came on in, and you're back to work. And we must not lose our focus. You know, we got to focus on Ballard, and we have to focus on Pence, too, because, you know, that's where our main battle is going to be. How is Pence going to govern? We already know how Ballard's governing. How is Pence going to do that? And I don't hear many people talk about that, but once again, Pence is the small president here in the state of Indiana. Indiana went Republican on us this time.
Mm-hmm.
But how is he going to govern? I mean, he is associated with that Tea Party piece.
Well, here's what we have to be concerned with, is the Republicans have a supermajority in the legislature. So the Democrats, particularly in the House, they're down to 31. And of those 31, 10 are from Marion County. And so we really, you know, they're going to try all kinds of trickery and games to ram stuff down our throats. I would not be surprised if the mayor's people, the venal, hate-filled people around the mayor, not the mayor personally, but the hate-filled people around the mayor, trying to get legislation passed through this next legislature that would handcuff our council, emasculate our Democratic elected officials in this county. This is not going to be pretty. We need to be on guard. In other words, you know, the D's, it is interesting, out of 14 legislative House seats now in Marion County, 10 are occupied by Democrats because we took two seats from Republicans yesterday. One on the west side, Carly Macer out of that District 92 on the west side, and Christina Hale up on the north side in District 87. Those were two losses Republicans weren't counting on.
Well, we're going to expect you to be really on your game. You know that you're going to have to be on your game for the next 4 years because you know what we're about to deal with. Thank you, Amos.
All right, appreciate it. 239-1310. Let me go to Greg at 239-1310. Hi, Greg.
Amos, how are you?
I'm fine.
Good. Hey, listen, I first wanted to say, before I make any other comment, I want to tell you how much I appreciate, and I'm sure I'm speaking for our entire community. Your contribution to this community cannot be downplayed or understated. We get information from you that we wouldn't get anywhere else from this local media. So I first wanted to say that. I am most appreciative of your efforts.
I appreciate it.
As far as the election goes, I couldn't be happier. I'm a staunch Democrat and a staunch Obama supporter. I think he's done an unbelievable job in the face of racism and hate and disrespect for the last 4 years, and I think he's going to do a great job in the next 4 years.
I absolutely agree, and I think, you know, the tricky thing for a second-term president, you only got 2 years to maneuver. Because once you get past 2014, then everybody's going to run for president in 2016, starts running, and you become irrelevant as president. So he's got 2 years to hit the ground running. A lot of issues that he has to deal with. We've got to deal with the deficit. The president is absolutely correct. We've got to deal with, you know, cuts and revenue enhancements. We've got to figure out how we deal with immigration. And this is the problem with the Republicans. You can't be anymore in America a national party of just white people. Democrats can't do it. Republicans can't do it. Libertarians sure in the heck can't do it. You've got to be able to appeal not only to the Latino brothers and sisters, the Asian brothers and sisters, but it is amazing here in Indianapolis. When I moved here in 75, there were Democrats around here, but this was a Republican town. There were strong black Democrats. Black Republicans, elected officials, involved. Now it's almost like the local Republican Party and the state Republican Party just ignore black folk. And it is amazing to me, one of the reasons I think Tony Bennett messed up. You could make an argument of how many African Americans have taken advantage of those vouchers in the voucher program.
Mm-hmm.
to enroll their kids using our tax dollars in a parochial school, in a private school. There are some African Americans that agreed with some of the education reforms of Tony Bennett. Tony Bennett did no advertising to the black community in this campaign to say, I'm Tony Bennett. This is what I did. This is how it helped you help me. And black folks rolled over him in that Ritz landslide yesterday. The other thing is, I don't think Tony realized the takeover of the schools in IPS, that there was going to be a backlash.
Huge backlash.
In the black community. And here's the other thing, because it's interesting. The Chamber of Commerce put out a statement at 2 o'clock this morning crowing about how the new members of IPS, and this is an indication of reform, blah, 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 blah. So at 6 o'clock this morning, still on I'm on fumes. I sent an email to the Chamber of Commerce's PR person. I said, well, where is your statement about the defeat of Tony Bennett? And then I invited the head of the chamber to come on and talk about how can you crow about the election of reformers in IPS when those same voters that voted for them voted for Glenda Ritz? This is a warning to to my good friend, Sam Odle, commissioner elect in IPS, as well as the two new commissioners elect, Gail Cosby and Caitlin Hannon. Congratulations to all of them. But there's a warning in their win yesterday. They were not elected to be little Tony Bennett's.
That's right.
If they try to go into IPS and be little Tony Bennett's, little mind trusters, what happened to Tony Bennett will happen to them. Because that was a wake up. The look on Tony Bennett's face last night, boy, I got to get a screenshot of that.
Well, shock doesn't even begin to describe it. He looked like his parents had just died. It was almost comical. But I taught with IPS for 29 years. I still have a lot of friends in the system, and I spoke with quite a few of them last night, and every one of them was ecstatic that Bennett is on the way out. You can't turn schools into profit-making entities. They're in the business of education and teaching.
You're absolutely
and
right.
So I think that Ms. Ritz is going to do a great job. And I just want to make one more point on Murdoch's concession speech. I heard the caller, Jeff, a little earlier talking about that. That was the most graceless, tasteless, bitter, disingenuous concession speech I've ever seen, or ever heard, rather.
We were busy live blogging last night on praiseindy.com, and Chris, I think, heard it. Chris is nodding. That bad?
It was terrible. You know, I'd heard a rumor that all the rooms in Murdoch's house are made of rubber, and after that speech last night, I kind of would agree with that. So hopefully he and Mr. Aiken over in Missouri, perhaps they can get some jobs as race counselors. I don't know. Hey, Amos, thanks a lot.
All right, I appreciate it. Mr. Murdoch, I think, is still state treasurer for two more years. Anyway, 239-1310, 239-1310. We'll take a break. It's Afternoons with Amos. Sound like he made the speech he was supposed to make in the back room instead of the speech he's supposed to make in public. I mean, when you lose among your friends in the back room, you're saying, oh, you know, they did me in. But when you're publicly supposed to, we congratulate my esteemed opponent, and we tried, and we... That's what happens when you're my way in the highways. After these, they must have to these. So I get home about 10:40 last night, because I figured 11 o'clock they were going to call California and the state of Washington and Hawaii and Oregon for the president, but he would still be a ways away from the 270 electoral votes. And I figured it was going to be like midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning before they declared one of those battleground states for the president. So I'm in the house, and then all of a sudden they're shouting from the folk in my house, the women in my house. They're yelling and screaming and hollering, and I'm going, what in the world is going on? And then I looked on my TV, and then the flash was MSNBC gives Ohio to Obama, to the president. And I'm going, wait a minute now. That's not a good look for MSNBC to give it to declare that the president's been reelected, because everybody's going to think, oh, you all in the bag for the president. So I say, let's turn to Fox News. What are they doing? So I turn to Fox News. Fox News, we declare Ohio for President Obama. He's reelected. And the people on Fox News, they look like Tony Bennett looked like last night. Especially the part where they ran down to the person at Fox News that made the decision that Mitt Romney was not going to win Ohio. And trying to interview, you made a mistake. And then Karl Rove. How is Karl Rove a commentator on Fox News when he sits there and runs a company that collects money from rich people and buys advertising to beat up on candidates across the country? And that sounds like a basic conflict of interest. And so Karl Rove is whining, oh, he didn't win and y'all made a mistake. He wasn't whining because he thought it was a real mistake. He was whining because all those people he suckered money from were probably going to be calling him today saying, Karl, you promised me that if I gave you $20 million, I would get something for my money, a Romney presidency. You think Karl Rove has got his phone on silent, that he's ducking calls? Because if I was a gazillionaire, and I dropped a couple $100 million to help you, and I have nothing to show for it but a bottle of champagne that I didn't have time to drink because I got depressed. I'm going to want something. Y'all can do the imagination what I would want from Karl Rove. 239-1310, 239-1310. It's Afternoons with Amos. Let me go back to the phones at Anonymous. Hi there.
Amos, I would just like to start out by thanking you for reading the scripture in Matthew this afternoon. I don't generally listen to your program on Wednesday, but I forgot it was Wednesday, and I wanted to hear what some of the comments were going to be after the election. Mm-hmm. I want to respond to the lady a few calls ago that was commenting about people praying. And I want to assure her that there are people praying who have been praying the whole time he's been in, and even through this second reelection process. But people all over this country are praying, and I would just like to make an appeal also for people to continue to pray that our president will seek the Lord for direction, for the right people around him to make the right decisions, and to just really realize that he didn't do this, that we really didn't do this, God did this the second time. He did it the first time, and he did it the second time. So just let's make ourselves a committee of one. Pray for our president. God bless you. You're doing a great job.
I appreciate that. And I, you know, that's how Rush Limbaugh should have opened his show today, with scripture. Greg Garrison should have opened with scripture. Everybody that does this on a day after yesterday with our country divided, instead of opening up with the hate. See, I was also trying to make a positive statement that sometimes it's good to read from the book. 239-1310, 239-1310, it's Afternoons with Amos. Let me go back to the phones. And Brenda, hi there.
Hi, Amos.
How are you?
Oh, I'm tired. And I tried to go to bed because I got a little discouraged when I was looking at the numbers.
Mm-hmm.
But I kept getting a phone call from my sister. I even got an international call from my girlfriend, and she said, I know it's midnight over there, but I just want to say thank you, Jesus.
Wait a minute. Where was she calling you from?
Thailand.
Wait a minute. On her dime, not yours.
Right. But it was kind of funny. But I looked at this race and looked at all the money that the Republicans spent, all these rich people trying to get rid of our president, and, you know, I think one of the things is they can't find anything wrong with this man.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is, after I finally realized he won, my first thought was the first will be last.
Mm.
And last will be first.
The other thing is, and people ought to write these 16 names down. These are the names of the presidents of the United States who have been elected to two terms. Mm-hmm. George Washington, Thomas Jefferson. James Madison, mm-hmm. James Monroe, Andrew Jackson. Lord, what would Andrew have thought about a brother-in-law? Abraham Lincoln, mm-hmm. Ulysses S. Grant, Grover Cleveland. Took him two times, but Grover got over. William McKinley, Woodrow Wilson, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, Dwight D. Eisenhower, Richard Nixon, Ronald Reagan, Bill Clinton, George W. Bush, and now Barack Hussein Obama. Look at that company. You know, all of them, you know, historians are kind of shaky about Brother Grant. But all of them made great contributions to the presidency and this country. We've had 44 presidents, 17 reach this point. That's really where I think the hate is. It was like, well, we gonna make sure you're not reelected. Well, now all of a sudden you graduated to postgraduate presidential school. You're in a league with Reagan. You're in a league with Eisenhower. You're in a league with McKinley. You're in a league with Andy Jackson. You know, that's why they're mad about Bin Laden, because, you know, if Andy Jackson was around, he'd have gone over there himself.
Right.
And took him out.
But, you know, isn't it amazing that they just don't want to work with him? I've never seen Washington in such a disarray. I mean, they don't want to work together. They don't want to do anything to try to help him. They don't want to compromise. They don't want to meet in the middle. And it took us 8 years to get to this mess.
Yeah, and I think what the president also has to do is, and there's been some legitimate criticism of the president in terms of he's not a social animal. You know, the president is not someone that likes, I mean, he likes to go out, you know, on dates with his wife, and nothing wrong with that. But I don't think he's the type that likes to go out, you know, after work, you know, let me have some of the boys over from Congress, boys and girls over from Congress, let's have some beers and watch the NBA. I think he's got to change and do a little more of that schmoozing and entertaining, because sometimes to build that consensus and rapport, you got to do a little bit of entertaining. You got to take it out of the office and in some kind of social setting. In business, it's called a business dinner, or it's called going to play golf,
right?
Or it's sitting in a suite at a Colts game or a Pacer game, and that's where a lot of business and rapport and you get to know each other is taken. And he may have to change something, because we got to do something.
We do. We really do. Are we going to have four more years of the same thing?
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thank you. 239-1310. 239-1310 is afternoon's name, so I'll go back to the phones. And Thomas. Hi, Thomas.
Hello, Mr. Amos.
How are you, sir?
Fine and dandy, like ice cream and candy.
Oh, Lord, Lord, Lord. What's up?
Look here. First of all, let me say this. I have no complaint about the polling. The people was real nice, and everything went good. And y'all should give them a raise, those volunteers.
I heard that.
I mean, that's really great. But what my comment was, in number one, on my sheet that they sent me,
mm-hmm.
they had Robin Stackerford.
Right.
Stackerford, District 98.
Right.
Which was Crawford's old district.
Absolutely.
I go in the polls, she wasn't on the ballot. You know, she wasn't on the ballot at all. And I was forced to vote for District 96, Greg Porter. And I don't understand that gerrymandering. I had.
Oh, well, see, they redistricted.
Yeah, but they didn't tell nobody this. But the big shots, I don't know who they told. They didn't tell me.
Did you vote in the primary?
Yeah.
And it was District 98 in the primary?
Right.
Then it should have been District 98 in the general.
And, 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 And you know what? I'm looking at that, and then when I go down looking at the results, District 98 and this lady don't show up in the results.
Ah, here's why it don't show up in the results. She didn't have any opposition. The Republicans.
Well, that's what Crawford say. Crawford say she gonna win anyway.
Yeah, the Republicans and the Libertarians did not pick anyone to run against Robin Shackelford.
Okay.
So the newspapers and the TV station said, why are we gonna put her up there and with 100% of the vote and nobody's running against her? Let's save that space for somebody else.
Okay. Well, that's okay. They can do that.
So as soon as they started, as soon as somebody went and early voted and blackened in the oval next to Robin Shackelford's name, she won.
Right.
And the sad part, it's not a sad part, it's the end of an era. The minute the polls closed on yesterday was the official end of Bill Crawford and John Day's great careers in the legislature, because they're retiring and their terms ended at the end of Election Day yesterday.
That's what you see at 6 o'clock.
So now he's in retirement from being a, that means he can go be a lobbyist and help lobby for good things. Anyway, I appreciate the call.
I got another comment.
Yes, sir.
Now I got a card from the, election committee, Ms. White's office.
Yeah.
And it shows me as I was in precinct 4.
Mm-hmm.
But when I got to the office, it's precinct 3. And I couldn't, it's okay. I'm going to find out who did that. But I just want to comment on that. Also, the paper had a IPS District 1 and 4.
Right.
Neither one of them was on my ballot.
You should have had District 2.
Well, wasn't no District 2 on the ballot. Wasn't no District 2 in on the,
but you had, did you have at large?
I had at large. Oh.
Then you, what side of town do you live on? What neighborhood?
Brightwood over here on 38th and, Sherman.
North of 38th?
No, south of 38th.
You should have been in District 2.
Well, even if I was in District 2, the name of the person on the paper in District 2 was Esper.
That's one of the names in District 2.
But the Esper wasn't on my ballot.
Esper wasn't on your ballot.
And Gore.
Was Gore on the ballot?
Gore wasn't on the, Esper or Gore was not on the ballot. They had Cosby.
And that's one of the ones that's on the ballot. You might need to call 327-5100. Report that to the election board, okay? 327-5100.
Okay. And another thing I wanted to say.
Uh-huh.
Crawford told me I should mention it. The fact is that I'm one of the first, I don't know, you're so young, you probably don't remember Reverend George Lee.
No, I don't.
You don't? He's
no,
the first person that got killed trying to vote in Mississippi.
Oh.
You know?
Okay.
And he was right on my, you know, that was right on my street, on my porch.
Oh dear.
You know, and, I got a DVD about that, hosted by, what's his name? The preacher, man. I can't call his name. He's on 52, channel 52 every night at 6 o'clock.
Okay, well, I have to check that out. I need to move on, my brother. I appreciate the call. 239-1310. 239-1310 is afternoon's name. It's the day after Election Day. Give us a call, send us an email at praiseindia.com or a text message at 85620, keyword Amos. Tomorrow, whole bunch of stuff. Barbara Boyd will be here. She's got something going on. We'll talk to the folks at Peace Learning Center. They've got an event they want you to know about. Oh, Friday. After the break, I'll tell you who's coming on Friday. We're going to give you information to be able to deal with all these folks on the other side that are depressed because Mitt Romney went back to retirement to be a businessman after these.